I feel like I earned being a part of this show with a little extra driving I did last night, but nonetheless, McElroy and Kublik, Friday edition, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Greg McElroy, live from Fayetteville, Arkansas. How was the trip in last night, Greg?
Not my favorite drive in the SEC. Probably my least favorite drive in the SEC. From Birmingham to Starkville is a tough one, but I do think from that little tiny airport in northwest Arkansas to Fayetteville is my least favorite. I don't know why. It's way shorter. It's like an hour shorter than the one I just referenced, but that one's very frustrating to me. I don't know why. A lot of twists and turns, not a lot of sights to see. Not a big fan of the drive from XNA to actual Fayetteville proper.
It's a weird one.
It's a weird one, right? There's a bunch of twists, a bunch of two-lane roads, and you're driving it at the middle of the night. It's not exactly the most comforting thing in the world.
No, absolutely not. Most comforting is we have week two of the college football season coming up this weekend. Excited about that. Before we begin to get into those previews, I have to spend a little bit of time on it. The GOAT. And I don't think there's any debate. I don't think there's any question.
None.
Tom Brady again last night. And it didn't start on that two-minute drive. I mean, early in the game, he throws a little seam over the middle to Gronk in double coverage. I don't know how he even fit that ball in. And then he gets a little floater down the sidelines. He's got pressure coming back foot. He just decides to kind of flip up a lob, and you're thinking, man, is he just throwing that ball away? And then, what do you know? Boom, right there, right in the hands of Godwin. And then, of course, the two-minute drive where you leave any time on the clock, and you got to be careful because Brady's going to make you pay, and he made the Dallas Cowboys pay again last night. Greg, just unbelievable what this guy is capable of, regardless of his age.
First of all, it's mind-boggling his age. Second of all, the dude is an absolute surgeon in two-minute. Two-minute operation's just a joke. I mean, it really is. And that's really what it comes down to in the league. I mean, how good are you in two-minute? Because so many games are decided by end-of-half situations or end-of-game situations. And there is no one in the history of the NFL that is better at a two-minute operation than Tom Brady. I mean, his accuracy, his poise, his awareness of the situation, his inability or lack of willingness to ever take a negative play in that situation, man. It's unbelievable. He gets the ball out so quick. He's so, so good. I was fortunate to be a part of a team. I went back and looked. You and I were talking on the phone last night. I went back and looked and saw we played them five times. And we got beat in a two-minute operation in 2011. And then 2013, we lost because he had a failed two-minute operation at the end of the game. The only reason why it was failed is because the heaven opened up. I'm not kidding when I say this. Go back and look at Patriots against Bengals 2013. You will see what happened at the end of the game because Tom Brady was 100% going to score. No doubt we were going to lose the game. And then all of a sudden, it was as if there was a monsoon that hit there in southern Ohio. So just check it out, man. The guy is an absolute surgeon, and I've never seen anything like it. Last night, the best example. I mean, tough situation, goes right out. It was never a doubt. Did you ever at any point feel as though
they
were going to kick that field goal? Not only kick a field goal. It's one thing to hit a field goal from 55. They're going to kick a manageable field goal, which is exactly what they did. And man, it's just so impressive to watch.
With multiple throwaways, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he had plenty of time and plenty of more opportunities to push the ball further down the field if he wanted to. And I thought it was interesting how it kind of took Collinsworth two of those throwaways to realize, oh, they're just going to kick. Like, he's not even this is intentional. He's just throwing the ball out in the stands and they're going to go out and kick the field goal and get out of here with the win. It was incredible to watch. He's ridiculous to watch. And what an opener for the NFL season. We talk about what a monster the NFL is, what a juggernaut the NFL is. You had the NFL's biggest brand last night in the Dallas Cowboys going up against the defending champions on a Thursday night all by themselves. No other sports that matter on at that time. That number is going to be massive today when it comes out. And the NFL just proves why they're king again. And also, kudos to Dak. Heck of a performance from Dak last night. Amari Cooper was off the charts last night. But it looked like Dak was going to be Brady. The way he brought the Cowboys down late, just left a little bit too much time on the clock for TB. And he was able to make him pay. But 403 yards for Dak, 379 for Brady. Amari Cooper goes 13 for 139. He and CeeDee Lamb were both big late in that game. Lamb had a couple of big catches, one big catch and run late. Antonio Brown goes 121. Godwin had 105. I mean, it was a lot of offense. It was a lot of fun. It was a competitive game. and down to the wire the way that it was, and you got to see the best do what the best does. Just pretty perfect start for the NFL last night, Greg.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement of the year. It's the part of what's amazing about the NFL. I mean, the Cowboys drafted what last year? What number did they draft? I'm asking the question. I honestly don't remember. Were they 5-11, 6-10, in that vicinity, right around there? And
somewhere in that area.
They took the champs in their house to the wire. That's why the NFL is the biggest, baddest dude in the land. Because every single week, you never know. It's literally any given Sunday. And the Cowboys, granted, yeah, with Dak, they're a little different team. And he looked fantastic last night, as if the leg injury never recurred. So couldn't be happier for him. Couldn't be happier to be a Cowboys fan in this circumstance. But my goodness, man, the NFL is just such a monster. Because you think about it, you take the best team in Alabama in college football, play them against the team that finished, 4-8 last year, or won 500. They're 500. Let's just say they're 6-6. And Bama's going to win that game by 50. Well, not in the NFL. In the NFL, it's literally any team can beat anyone every single week. And that's why fans are so obsessed with it. And that's why it's such a huge, huge property. In the eyes of people that evaluate sports.
There's no doubt about it. And you get more of it this Sunday. Obviously, you'll be able to hear some of it right here on WJOX. But we got to get into college football. Interesting day yesterday, Greg, being able to head over to Alabama practice and went over to Hey Coach, the Nick Saban show. Jordan Rogers was the co-host, celebrity, media personality sit-in. Whatever you want to call it. So they asked if I'd roll over there with him, and got the chance to check some of that out, watch some of that.
Did you get gooey fries at Baumhauer's?
We went to a different establishment for dinner afterwards, but I wanted to.
Did you get gooey fries?
I did not. No, I wanted to.
Because the gooey fries rip.
Now, they're incredible.
You can tell me if you know, maybe not the healthiest thing in the world. I'm not necessarily
trying to stay there while we're in season.
If you're keto, probably not the order you need to go with. But I'm just saying the gooey fries.
Yeah, I'm not disciplined enough to be keto.
I'm about to say you can get after it with the gooey fries.
Yeah, those things are good. They are exceptional. But no, it was a couple of takeaways that I had from that, because Jordan and I were actually talking on the way over, and he's like, "What are some of the things that you're thinking about for Saban, coming up?" Because I'll talk to him today after we meet with the coaches, and then obviously I'll see him on the field before the game, halftime, post game. And one of the few things that we talked about was leadership. And I said, I know that's big for him. I know it's big for this team, because we hear a lot about Landon Dickerson and Najee and even Devontae, right? Even though he wasn't a loud, boisterous, outspoken guy, he was someone that you often hear described as always did the right thing, never stepped out of bounds, never did anything wrong, never was any trouble, never talked back, just show me what I need to do, I'll go do it, and I'll do it better than anybody else. That was the kind of guy that he was. And so I was kind of flipping through the channels a couple of nights ago, and I saw this Fortune 500 CEO being interviewed, and the reason I stopped is because on the bottom of the screen, on the crawl, it said, so-and-so CEO discusses teaching leadership to his management team. And I just immediately thought to myself, can you teach leadership? Like, is that a real thing? Sometimes I think you can, sometimes I don't think you can. I kind of go both ways with it. I think it obviously depends on the individual. So Jordan and I talked about that, and he's like, I might ask him about it. I was like, no, go for it. I don't know if I'll get a chance to discuss it with him or not, but I think it's important because he has addressed it with his team, and I would love to hear his response and just how he develops it, if he thinks he can teach it, who they think they can get it out of. And so he asked him about it a little bit, just how he sort of, gets it going with guys and how they try to talk about it. And he said his response was, it's funny, I met with the leadership council today and we discussed some of these things. So I thought it would be interesting to hear from you how that part of this program works, because I don't really know. He didn't necessarily clarify if he thinks he can teach leadership to his guys. But I know the leadership council is important, and I know putting guys in position to be leaders is important, and I know he recruits guys that he thinks are going to have those traits, even though it doesn't automatically mean they're going to come out. So it's something that he's addressed multiple times with this team, that it needs to improve, needs to get better, they have to have. How does that work inside that building? How does Nick Saban try and formulate, teach, coach, develop leadership on a certain football team?
Well, it's all trickle down, right? So there's one message. The one thing that he also does is he'll have that leadership council meeting, if you will. And there's usually, I mean, depending on the year, you're probably going to have one guy from every position group, more often than not. Then you have maybe even a leadership group within the leadership group that really sets the tone of the team. Those are the guys that Nick will meet with one-on-one, right? And that's, I think, a little bit unique to if you get to that point, it's like, oh, I've made it, right? That's always pretty cool when you get to meet with him one-on-one to even he can be even a little bit more frank with you in that setting. But the leadership group, basically, he'll call you in and you meet about some dumb things like, hey, what movie do we want to watch this week? And then you meet about things that are obviously remarkably important, making sure the message is understood. If there's a guy in your group, in your position group, perhaps, that is not towing the line, that's on you. Like, to a certain extent, that's on you. And I'm not saying you need to necessarily go take him to class. You need to go drive him around town or watch his every move as a member of the leadership group. Ultimately, these things will take care of themselves. If that guy is not towing the line, sorry, so be it. He'll be on his way out. It's just the way it is. It's the way the program is built. And if there's not accountability from an individual and you're swimming upstream, then perfect. The transfer portal is a wonderful outlet for some kids. And that, they're not going to cry over a guy getting in the portal. Doesn't matter if he's a five-star future Hall of Famer like Alvin Kamara. If you're in the portal, you're in the portal. It's no problem. It's all good. No hard feelings. Just didn't work out here. Other things of significance as far as that leadership group is concerned, it's really, really hard. As speaking from someone that was on a national championship team and was making my first starts that season that we ended up going on that run, it's really hard to be a boisterous leader when you haven't played. So I think that this year's leadership is probably limited because there's a lot of guys, Cole, that haven't played.
Yeah.
Particularly
fair.
On the offensive side of the football. And I remember when we were breaking in some new pieces in 2009, I hadn't played, our center hadn't played, we're replacing a lot of personnel along the offensive line. Thank goodness we had Mike Johnson, who had played a lot. He was our left guard. He was kind of the big dog, alpha dog in the room for us as an offense. Running backs, Ingram hadn't played that much. He was a backup at that point. Because Glenn Coffey was the guy before that. Wide receivers, Julio was a sophomore, had played some, but Julio was never a strong personality throughout the course of his career. So we didn't have a ton of offensive leadership at the beginning of the season. Mike Johnson was that guy, but it took a little time, I think, for all of us to feel comfortable in our own skin to be able to be as outspoken as we'd probably like to be. And I'm sure that's what Nick's dealing with right now. You got some guys that want to do it, but they really can't. Because until you show that you can do it on Saturdays on a big stage, the guys aren't going to listen quite as much as they will when things change and you get a little bit more playing time.
And I think it's even more difficult when you have as strong a leaders as the team had last year. Because some people become accustomed to just those personalities taking over. Now, some people, it's osmosis. It wears off on them and they want to be that when that person leaves. Other people just get used to the fact that that leadership is there. And that aspect of their personality or their game goes on cruise control a little bit, and you forget to sort of develop it and bring it out and make sure that you have it. So it felt like yesterday, just being around the building and being at that radio show listening to Nick Saban's response to what Jordan asked him, that that's one of the bigger concerns on this team. We know personnel-wise, there's not a ton of them. I mean, obviously, right. Drew Sanders is going to fill that role. Is he going to be the only guy there? You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, are there going to be some younger DBs that step in and maybe do different things later in the season? I think backup quarterback, I'm not saying it's a real concern, but I think it's one that is getting a little extra attention right now because they're not necessarily sure which direction that they would go or want to go if something did happen to Bryce Young full-time, so to speak. So right tackle, center, how that combination is going to work out. But there's not a ton of things personnel-wise that you look at and say, man, they got to get that fixed or they're going to be in big trouble. It's just not a real thing. And some of those things they'll have a chance to work on against Mercer Saturday at 3 on the SEC Network. But that feels like the part of this team that they want to work on, that they want to try to to try to bring out a little bit more to get ready most likely for next week when they got to travel to Gainesville and play Florida. So, there are some things I want to see. You and I talked about the running back rotation. I kind of want to see and hear about how that's operating, where that's going to go maybe in the near future, because like I told you, and I had a chance to talk to David Blue yesterday about, you know, the strength staff and some of the things that they're doing, and talk to him about Brian Robinson. And I told him, I said, man, first thing I noticed about B. Robinson, his body just looks different. And he kind of laughed and he said, that's because it is. And he put a lot of focus into it and he put a lot of work into it and he did a lot of that himself. But it's, you know, he kind of looked to me like a guy on those first few carries, Greg, that I was like, well, hold on now. Maybe we shouldn't just be pushing the next guy up in front of him. He might be able to handle the load. He might be able to be that guy. So it's you can learn a few things in a game like this, especially when there's that kind of youth and experience at certain spots, especially when guys are still battling it out. So those are the spots I'll be paying attention to and trying to find some takeaways from this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the running back spot is the one that I'll be paying a lot of attention to, because I haven't had a chance now to really go down the list and get a good look at Roydell, get a real good look at Trey. There's some other things that I'd love to see as well with just kind of the rotation. I mean, let's be honest. I hate that I'm even saying this as a Nick Saban protege, but I wanted the backups this weekend, man. Like, I know who the starters are. I feel real good about those guys. I want to see some of the young guys that haven't had their chance yet. And they might have sprinkled them in last week, but they're probably going to have a little heavier lift this week with what they're going to be asked to do. Not that they're going to be asked to be going a little deeper into the playbook. This week's plan will be probably pretty vanilla. But how do they execute? How do they, you know, is there a guy, potentially a wide receiver, that steps up? That, like, oh, well, this guy needs to find a little bit more play time. Maybe a guy in there at the secondary that they feel real good about. Maybe a guy along the defensive line that they're real excited about as well. So this is, let's just be honest. I mean, this is going to be an absolute beatdown. Alabama can name their score. But there's a lot more that you can learn about the qualities of the team. If they go out there and go through the motions, next thing you know, they're going into halftime and it's 14-3, then I'm not saying press the panic button, but expect Nick Saban to flip over a table in the locker room at halftime. I mean, it's just that he will lose his mind. And you can learn a lot about the quality of the roster and the depth and the leadership on the roster on a game like this. So I think you have a hugely important job, Cole, as a sideline analyst for this game, to really evaluate what is – not that your job isn't really important every week. It is, obviously. But this week, more specifically, because we're talking about a national championship roster whose standard is their own. They set the standard, and you're going to be able to probably dive deep into the inner workings of that sideline. And you're going to be able to watch and survey and see what the interactions are like, see who the big personalities are. So you're on a mission this weekend to find out as much information as you can for the show. So I think you can handle that, and I think Saturday is going to be a really eye-opening experience for a lot of Bama fans as we kind of figure out, you know, who's in charge here. You know, who's the alpha in the room offensively, and what do things look like on the defensive side beyond the starters, who we are all very familiar with?
Absolutely. I'll be going on a mission like Doc McStuffins. But if you're on a mission to find a new vehicle, you can get tailgate ready this season. 2021 Sierra Yukon from Royal Buick GMC. New Sierra and Yukon AT4s are arriving daily, and Royal has a full line of Buick SUVs. That includes the Enclave, which I've driven, which is wonderful, the Encore GX, and the Envision. Royal is the number one GMC dealer in Alabama for customer satisfaction based on reviews from DealerRater. That's a division of cars.com. The other guys make empty promises sometimes, but my friends at Royal Buick GMC follow through, and they're going to get results with deals and lightning quick service. They've always been the best of the best when it comes to taking care of customers, and that satisfaction goes double when it comes to affordability. How fast they can match you with a mean tailgating machine is second to none. You only need an hour to get in and get out with a new ride at Royal. Now's the time to get top dollar for your trade. Don't miss out on another game day. Get tailgate ready at Royal Buick GMC, exit 252, where I-65 meets Highway 31 in Vestavia, online at royalbuickgmc.net. When we come back, former Alabama quarterback John Parker Wilson is with us every week. We'll talk non-conference games with him, preparing for those, finding leadership within the Alabama program. On the other side, right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning, Friday edition. It is 7:25 a.m. I'm live in Tuscaloosa. Greg McElroy, live in Fayetteville, Alabama. Greg will be on the call for Arkansas,
literally
Texas.
Sitting outside, for the record, in case you were wondering. I am outside here.
I hear the birds.
On the corner,
yeah, beautiful.
Of East. Yeah, I'm on the corner of East and something. I can see the clock tower in the distance there on the campus.
Okay.
And the sun is beautifully rising over here on the eastern skyline. This is actually kind of cool. First time I've ever, now in 8 years of doing morning radio, first time I've ever done outside. But it's actually kind of a cool setup.
All right. And so, I mean,
way to set the scene. Way to paint the picture.
A little relaxing.
That's what
there.
I'm here for.
Kind of get a little bit of, kind of get some, get the birds chirping in the background. I feel like almost it's almost like Masters coverage. I'm waiting for Nance to come on and start talking about. Talking about where he is and what he's doing here, and then for somebody to email the station and say those are fake bird noises that you're pumping in. We don't believe it. So hopefully it's not too hot over there in Fayetteville, and you don't have to worry about that Arkansas heat. We know the Alabama heat can get you down. Keep your home comfortable with an affordable Train cooling system. Train, the official cooling partner of Jocks, in 2021 is the seventh consecutive year is recognized as America's most trusted HVAC brand. Find a comfort specialist near you at Train.com. It's proven. It's hard to stop a Train. We talked about leadership. We talked about what can you learn against an opponent like Mercer for Alabama. We've all been through these games. We've all played in these games. I want to get some ideas on just what it was like for John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, and he joins us each and every week thanks to Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, Loaderworks, Rentalworks, yeah! The big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson was brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, John Parker Wilson.
John Parker, we know we kind of have fun with the Nick Saban blow-ups and getting frustrated and pointing out different things in weeks like this Mercer game for Alabama Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. on the SEC Network. However, take us back to some non-conference games, and you're the starting quarterback at Alabama. Things that you remember through that week, just how things were handled, and maybe why it was different than a lot of people might imagine.
Well, I think it's different because, you know, it just this week requires a different level of intensity, especially with Coach Saban and just how he tries to run the program where, kind of one of the things he's been preaching since he got there is it doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter if you're practicing or playing Mercer or you're playing Ohio State, you're playing Clemson. He really wants you to go out there and do the same thing day in and day out. And that just kind of creates consistency. It creates dependability. And it doesn't matter if it's week two or week 15 or whatever it is. That's the kind of way he wants his guys to go out there and do it. And especially, you know, week one to week two, you always hear people talk about, well, that's when you make the most strides, when you make the most gains, when you learn the most, because you go out there and you finally played somebody. So I think this is the first home game. It's the first home game in Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's the first home game in a couple of years with a packed house. So you do need a different level of intensity this week. And, you know, I think he learned he probably learned early in his career, too, that you got to bring a different intensity. You remember my junior year, we had losing in Monroe coming to the house, and we lost to those guys. So I think from those early years, like, it's just like, okay, we're never going to let this happen again.
When you think about what these games mean, I already set the scene. Like, this is not about the starters. I hate to break it to you. This is not about the starters. It's about the young guys and some of those guys. How early will they get in the game? And I want to see the leadership on both sides of the ball as well. See what kind of accountability is created on the sideline. What one thing in particular are you looking for this weekend to feel a little better, I guess, about where we're at this point of the season?
Man, I know. I think you're right, Greg. It's getting the backups in, and so the starters got to go out there and take care of business, and they've got to put points on the board, defend it on defense, so the other guys can get in the game and just start to build depth. Because, you know, last year was a tough year with all SEC games. The second and third team guys didn't get as many reps as they would have. And typically you're playing teams like Mercer where you do get in there, and just kind of get your feet wet and figure out that this is a different game. It doesn't matter if you're playing Mercer or whoever. Like, the game's a lot different from practice to go out there, and you're playing in front of 100,000 people. So you kind of got to get the juices going. But for me, obviously it's not depth at running back. I think we've got plenty of that. I think it would be, you know, offensive line with only two starters coming back this year, with Ekuor and Evan Neal. You know injuries are going to happen up front on the offensive line. You just don't know where. It's going to happen. Hopefully it's not multiple positions. So you're trying to get chemistry up front, get working with the guy next to you, because these guys moved a lot around during camp. So you're trying to get some chemistry with the first team guys and the second team guys, because you know some of them are going to have to play. I think that's probably the most important position, I guess you could say, any year, but especially this year from Alabama, just with how good we are on defense and what our offense is trying to be.
It was interesting yesterday. John Parker passed by Bryce Young in the facility, and we were talking to him about the game, and he mentioned that was the first time I played in front of a crowd like that. And we kind of forget that. We know he was on the team last year, but I mean, you think about the fact that because of COVID, he didn't really have that environment, didn't play in front of that kind of a crowd. So that was actually his first experience being around something like that. And then obviously this will be the first, at least close to capacity, crowd that he'll get here at Bryant Denny Stadium Saturday afternoon. What were your thoughts on his performance against Miami?
You know, I think he played really well. I think he went out there, and I don't think you could ask him to do much more. 27-38, 344, four touchdowns, took care of the ball. I think showed a lot of confidence. You know, the first drive to me was awesome. He comes out of the gate and he overthrows Jamison Williams. Probably should have been a touchdown. And, you know, Williams ran a really good route, corner route, and Bryce was a little late, fluttered a little bit, and missed it pretty bad. It was a bad throw. But then later on that drive, converted a third down, had a great touchdown pass to Metchie. So just his ability to say, okay, that was probably in his head, like it was a duck. Like you're throwing it, as soon as it comes out of your hand, you know it's not good. And being his first drive as a starting quarterback at Alabama in front of a new, you know, packed out house, or mostly packed out house, his ability to come back from that I thought was pretty awesome. And then he just, the rest of the game, controlled everything, moved in the pocket really well, pulled the ball down when he needed to, spread around, I think, 9 or 10 different guys, caught the ball. So really controlled and demanded the offense. And I thought it was a great start. So now it's coming out and doing it at Bryant Denny Stadium.
When you think about what you saw from the defense last week and how dominant it was in the first half, and then the fact that it really wasn't very dominant in the second half, obviously you know that that's been a huge part of Coach's message this week, and I would imagine. So I guess if you were to have a takeaway from what we saw defensively this past weekend, would you say it was what you expected, or would you like to see a little better finish in the second half?
No, I mean, I think the second half did get a little flat, get a little stale, but my takeaway is these guys are good. I mean, they're really good. I think at every position, you know, Helms being out and kind of down at safety, I think Malachi Moore came in and played really well. So did Jordan Battle and Brian Branch coming down in the slot. You know, obviously Chris Allen getting hurt is it's a tough loss. I mean, he's a fifth-year senior guy that is a great playmaker, but a great leader also. But, you know, I think Drew Sanders came in pretty well. Obviously, Will Anderson played great. I think we've got really good defensive line play. Phil Mathis continues just to get after the passer, just brings such good energy. So I think this defense has got it. I think it's about continuing to get better, because that's what they did last year. They really got better from the first game to the last game. And Pete Golding had this team going. And this game against Miami was very efficient. It was a very efficient football. I think we tackled really well. But I also think we were in our spots. We were where we were supposed to be. There was no blown coverages. There was no running backs running wide open out of the backfield. So I think they played really well as a group. It was speed, it was confidence, it was just getting after the football.
John Parker, we always appreciate the time, man. And each and every week that you join us, you're brought to us by Craneworks.
And Craneworks get offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and up in Nashville. And this week, they're giving away Alabama football tickets. So check out their Facebook page today, and you can just go check them out, register to win for tickets for Alabama. So they're giving away this weekend, Alabama Mercer, at Craneworks Facebook page.
There you go, John Parker. Thanks, man. We'll catch up next week.
See you guys. Roll Tide.
You too. John Parker Wilson joining us right there on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. and not a long drive that he's got to make for the second consecutive week, Greg, to cover this Alabama football team.
Yeah, short drive, and I wonder if he's going to do it courtesy of our friends at Bill Smith Buick GMC right there in Coleman off Highway 31. You can also go see him online. Doesn't matter where you're at. You can go to BillSmithBuickGMC.com. They'll deliver it right to your driveway. They delivered one to a driveway out in California the other day. They've hit Colorado the other day because you can't find prices like this. That's how you get the acclaim of the national winner of the GMC Dealer of the Year Award. I wonder if the guy in Colorado had this delivered. A 2021 Sierra 1500 four-wheel drive crew cab SLT, fully loaded. I mean, you got it all. Center console, ventilated front seats, real sliding power window, universal home remote, all this other stuff, all this amazing, amazing things in this car. And it's $60,620. That's a list price. Well, Bill Smith, you're out, and they're going to charge you $53,390. So that's super, super incredible to find those kind of savings right now with inventory what it is across the United States. But the problem is the inventory is not a problem at Bill Smith. They have the largest inventory of anyone in the state of Alabama. Go see my buddies Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager. They're the GM and the sales manager respectively. And 75% of their business is repeat customers. That's the result of superior customer satisfaction. They also, by the way, have more inventory. Did I mention that? That's for sure. Go see them, Highway 31 in Coleman, or visit them online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com, and they'll have it delivered right to your driveway because Bill Smith Buick GMC is redefining the car business.
All right. We've got SEC action coming up this weekend. Went into Alabama. Let's turn the page. Greg's live in Fayetteville. He's sitting next to the road. He's on the street doing
literally
a show
on the street. That's how I'm pounding the pavement for the squad right here. I'm about to go should I go do sidewalk interviews like Leno? Like maybe. Do jaywalking?
Maybe. I'll be active, nervous, man. About who's rolling around out there at this hour, but what they're doing on campus. But we'll see. It could be interesting. But I want to get into that game a little bit because it's not getting a lot of run, and I think it deserves to because it's a massive game for both teams for a lot of different reasons. So we'll begin to dive into Texas and Arkansas when we come back right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Welcome back in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Friday, September 10th, I'm live in Tuscaloosa. Greg's live street side in Fayetteville.
Street side.
Legit street side.
Street side.
Yeah, corner absolutely. Of East and Meadow. Here, I'm on location on the corner of East and Meadow, not too far from downtown Fayetteville.
Yeah, everybody listening in Fayetteville, roll by there. Stop by and see Greg this morning.
Yeah, I know please.
Our faithful listeners there in the Arkansas area can stop by and say hello. I mentioned earlier, Bucks 31, Cowboys 29 last night, 49th game-winning drive of Brady's career. Just
how
unbelievable.
Many? 49.
You heard him?
49.
I would have taken the over. The guy's got 300 career starts. You got 49 game-winning drives.
But I mean that's over three full seasons of games of game-winning drives.
Goodness gracious.
Stupid.
No, it's absurd. 379. One out of six. He's winning in a 2-minute drive. Think about that.
It's unreal. 32 of 50. 379. How about he's 6-0 all time against the Cowboys now, Greg? He is undefeated against four different NFL teams for his career. One of them, the Falcons, that the Bucks play next. Ninth straight win for the Bucks. And
it's Falcons.
Yeah, no. And Gronk now 88 career touchdown passes. He is tied with Don Maynard for 15th all time. So
how good
a lot
Gronk?
Of good things. Oh, it's amazing. It's unreal.
He's so good. Golly. The Bucks make me sick. The fact that your fourth best wide receiver is Antonio Brown, and he might be the Antonio Brown of old, so he might be your best wide receiver.
Oh my goodness!
They make me sick. They're a super team. I don't like the super team. I like the team that's homegrown.
Oh, and then just go to the other side of the ball. Vita Vea all of a sudden looks unstoppable.
Oh my goodness!
Not all of a sudden, but last night.
Oh
I mean, he just,
my goodness!
He comes out of
how
nowhere.
How would you handle him? You'd cut him on
every
snap.
I mean, you almost can't on every snap because if it's pass pro, then I mean, a lot of times if he's lined up, close to your guard in the A gap, or he's rushing, off one of your shoulders, you go to cut him, and it's going to be an injury opportunity for the guard. I mean, you don't want to do that in a lot of pass pro situations. I'd cut him a lot. I'll tell you that. Somebody asked me on Twitter last night. I just said, "Hunker down and pray." I mean, because there's not a lot you can do.
He looked better. He looked better than 350 last night. He was heavy in college. He was a little soft. A little soft. 360, 370.
I feel like he looked better.
I
mean, I think once you're over 320, 330, looks really go out the window. It doesn't really matter.
It's all about what you do with it.
It's just how you handle it. But, man,
I think 330 is the Mendoza line. 330 is, if you're over 330, there's no way to look good. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
No, I agree. JPP looked good. I mean, Devin White looked good. It's like you said, they got guys everywhere. They literally have dudes everywhere. And they're fun to watch, but they're also – It's an embarrassment of riches there for Tampa Bay, and just for them to come back and win that game last night, excellent start for the NFL. If you're looking to get off to an excellent start your weekend by trying to find a playground for the kids, it's easy. Go visit Backyard Adventures. They're right there on Cahaba Valley Road. You can take the kids to their location there. They have all the different playground options set up, so you let the kids run around, swing, jump, climb, slide, and decide which options that they want, because Backyard Adventures can customize a playground for you. It's not just go buy one and take what you get. Your kids can actually choose if they want the rock wall, if they want the ladder, the rope ladder to be able to climb up, which swings they want, which slide they want, and other options that you're going to have on your playground. Best part is you're not going to put it together. Jeff and the guys are going to bring it to the house after they measure the yard and give you a 3D printout of what it's going to look like in your yard, and they are going to assemble the entire thing. You can't beat it. We have a playground from Backyard Adventures in my backyard. The kids love it. The kids are on it almost every day. It's not raining. And even when it is raining, they want to go out there and play anyway. It's going to last a lifetime. Excellent warranty. If you move, they'll move it for you. Three different series to choose from. And they even host birthday parties right there at their location at Cahaba Valley Road. Visit them online at BackyardAlabama.com or call 408-4FUN. BackyardAlabama.com or 408-4386. In your backyard right now, Greg, are going to be the Arkansas Razorbacks. I imagine the crowd is going to be fantastic. This old Southwest Conference rematch, future matchup of SEC opponents, is just going to be fun to watch in general. But as we dive into the actual game, there are a lot of folks that aren't going to really take a deep look at what Texas did. They're either not going to be interested in what the Raging Cajuns and Billy Napier are, or they're going to see that the score looked a little bit lopsided. It's not worth taking a peek at. But just how impressive was Texas to you before we actually get into the matchup? What did you expect to see, and what did you actually see when you began to dive in and study this team for what they're going to look like against Arkansas?
Well, I was pretty impressed with their defense, and I guess I just hadn't really last year. I mean, I obviously watched their defense on several different occasions. They got some speed on defense, Arkansas does. Second level, I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know if he's leaned up or a little bit. We're going to find out today when we visit with the coaches here in about an hour. Look at my math. At 11:30 Central, so 4 hours from now. I think Grant Morgan's leaned up at the second level defensively. He's a linebacker. He, of course, was uber productive last year, but that was more the system in which they funnel plays to him because he's a very sure tackler. I didn't see him do as much from a sideline-to-sideline standpoint. Now, he didn't play a lot last week. He got hit with the targeting early. But even in a very small sample size of plays last week, maybe 7 or 8 plays, he looked leaner and he looked more capable of playing with the speed needed to be a super elite linebacker at this level. Him alongside Bumper Pool, and I think Bumper Pool is more instinct than he is athleticism. But I think they make for a really solid tandem in the middle of the defense. Then you couple that with Jalen Catalan right behind them at the safety spot. That dude's different now. I mean, and he's always been really good, but he looks like he's shot out of a cannon this year. Watching some of his tape last week against Rice, man, he was all over the field. And, I mean, doing amazing things. Not just picking off passes that are tipped. I'm talking having a perfect play by Rice dialed up with Lyman out in front on a screen, and Catalan slips to the inside, gets skinny, and makes the play for a gain of 1, where it could have easily been a gain of 15. I mean, he made some game-changing plays last week in a game that was closer than some people liked, at least through 3 quarters. So I think those three on defense make them for real. I think the defensive line is adequate. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a dynamic group. I think they're adequate. I think they're solid. I think they play really hard, and they have a good concept and understanding of how to fit the run game. Not great by any stretch as far as the pass rusher, at least at this point. And then offensively, Treylon Burks didn't look anything like himself last week. Now, he's been hobbled a little bit through fall camp, has been in and out of the lineup. He had two drops last week. I mean, what do you recall a time last year?
Not good.
No, it was really bad.
No, I was extremely alarmed when I saw him on film, and I was just thinking, oh, man, because that's my guy. And
no,
I did not see that from him last year.
Unrecognizable. Not the same guy. Not to say he won't be back to who he was by week three, but I tell you what, man, if we're basing off of – he lost some money last week in my eyes. And we're talking about arguably the best wide receiver in the SEC. And he played awful. Treylon Smith at running back, undersized, but he's got a little Dexter McCluster in him. That's who I kind of found the comp to be. He's not quite as good as Dexter, but that undersized dude that can just flat out get it and is fearless and will run it between the tackles if you run him to. He was encouraging. I thought KJ's performance last week was disappointing. Very erratic in the passing game. He's got to be a lot better thrower. And if he doesn't improve as a thrower, this offense is going to be really one-dimensional, and there's one thing I don't want to be in the SEC is one-dimensional. So I think they got a lot of things to sort out offensively, but I think defensively there were some bright spots. They got hit one a couple big plays. They got to clean some of those things up. But I think the defense will be good enough to keep them in it throughout the course of this game and through some of the games against better teams in the SEC schedule.
Yeah, obviously being at home is going to be big for the Razorbacks, and you mentioned that defense. How good they are on the back end, linebacker play. You know they're not going to have a lot of busts. You know Barry Odom's going to have them in position to make plays. They have guys that have an understanding of where to be, how the defense works, the structure of it. So there's a ton of value there. I'm interested to see, especially with the Texas speed on defense that you mentioned. You know how Kendall Briles handles that. Obviously Treylon Burks, the guy that they're going to be able to utilize. He's going to need a big game. Treylon Smith out of the backfield, I think, has enough to be able to extend things east and west, but do they try to go right at that Texas defense? That Arkansas offensive line looked pretty good. They're better. I think they play together well as a unit. Not a lot of glass eaters, not a lot of war daddies up there on that offensive line. They're just physically not capable of moving people the way that some other groups are. I don't know if they can live between the tackles. And if not, I don't know what kind of a bind that's going to put Arkansas with KJ Jefferson at quarterback. He still needs to prove to me, Greg, that he can be big time. I don't know how much of KJ Jefferson I'm buying as a guy that Arkansas can rely on to go out and win games for him this year.
Yeah, and I think that KJ has to showcase a maturity that I haven't seen yet. I thought he was lazy with his feet. I thought he was slow getting through his progressions. And that's not a good thing. He has a lot of natural ability, but slow feet to me drive me freaking crazy. Like it's my biggest pet peeve as a quarterback. Like if I'm watching a quarterback, he got slow feet, I almost want to throw out the tape because you can't play like that, man. There's no urgency. Like last week, if you watch him play, there was absolutely no urgency. It was just going through the motions and being a better athlete in some cases. And I don't know what looks like behind him. I know Malik Hornsby's the fastest guy on the team and is an absolute dynamo with the ball in his hands. I don't know if he's quite ready for prime time, but he will be in time. But, man, I hope last week was an anomaly because I would like to see a better performance from him because he's got it in him, man. He's got some Cam Newton qualities. I'm not saying he's Cam Newton, all right? Like, nobody's Cam Newton. But he's got that build. He's got that speed that when he's running, he doesn't look like he's running, but nobody on the field's catching him. He's got, you know, a nice throwing motion. Not as dialed in as where Cam eventually got, but I was a little disappointed with what I saw last week. I thought it was going to be better, and it wasn't. So I'm hoping that he's taking strides from week one to week two. I hope he's a little more comfortable and got some confidence with how they finished the game. But he needs to be a whole heck of a lot better because that offense runs through the quarterback, and if the quarterback's not accurately capable of pulling the trigger, they could have a long year on that side of the ball.
It's always better at Andrew Sports Medicine. They're dedicated to helping our community stay healthy while aggressively pursuing victory over injury. With 7 Alabama locations, call Andrew Sports Medicine 24/7 at 205-939-3699 or visit andrewsportsmedicine.com. What does Chris the Bear Felica think about this upcoming weekend's slate of games? Where is he leaning? Who does he like? A couple of these are going to surprise you, even in one of our bigger matchups that we have discussed earlier in the week. So we're going to ask the Bear next, where are you going? Where should the cash be on this weekend's slate of college football games when we come back on McElroy and Kublik in the morning?